there were 500 residents living on this particular site. This is known as Willow Court. The whole site has had many names over the years. At its peak, there were 500 residents in Willow Court and 500 residents living in the Royal Newlands Hospital. So around about 1,000 people all told. People have had very numerous tags applied to them over the years. The latest tag was the term clients that lived here, or residents. Prior to that, most of the people that were living here were just known as patients because the hospital ran very much on a medical model. And so we were all employed as nurses, and the clients were referred to as patients.
So where
did
your rest
through some of the wards, we are first off going to go to Carlton Ward. Many of the wards have had checkered histories in the past and have had various uses. It was very much a segregated community, and most of the wards were specific gender, with a few wards having male and female mixes. We are going to go to Carlton first, which was originally used as a secure facility, and then later changed to a lesser secure model. We'll then make our way over to Derwent, and then we'll go into Esperance as well. The wards on this side of the hospital were numbered A to O. Wards on the Royal Newlands Hospital were numbered 1 to 12. Then later to change and to make it more a home environment, someone had decided that each of the lettered wards would be given a name, and so we've had our Sheringa, Bronte, Carlton, Derwent, Eskins, Franklin, Glenora, Hastings, Myrtle and Olga, and then they changed again. So we will make our way out and we'll go over to Carlton, which is situated next to the old army barracks. It's originally known as Willow Court. This particular road here was one of the busiest streets in the middle of Willow Court, apart from the main drag which runs through the hospital site. There were many, many institutional vehicles. There was the gardening equipment, you had laundry trucks, food trucks, hospital vehicles, staff vehicles, school buses. You had a plethora of vehicles just running through the site at all times. And there were typical peak times, early in the morning, lunchtime and afternoon. But you couldn't do what we're doing and just cross roads without actually stopping and actually waiting for the traffic to pass. There were a number of road crossings situated within the hospital. This particular building we're standing outside of was the most important for nursing staff. It was actually the pay office. It also housed all the administration staff, so rostering staff, directors of nursing, HR. It was all held here. In the back of the hall downstairs was actually a recreation hall that held community dances and institutional dances. It was later used by local badminton clubs and other sporting groups. In the latter years, it had fallen into disrepair as it was closed. Recently, there was a fire in the basement, and it was discovered by TAS fire authorities that it was still client records located in the basement of the hospital, which were just recently destroyed by fire. So, literally, on the last day of the shift, the wards were packed up and people just left. Same with other buildings. People packed up their things and just walked away. So follow me. I'm sorry, guys. We're going to have to. So it very much boiled down to politics at one stage, and it was a them and us. Nursing staff wouldn't swap and work between the two sites because nurses were obviously somewhere employed by a different department. It's also notorious for those of you that have read The Troubled Asylum, there is the talk of the breakout, in which a number of female clients joined some sheeting together and went over the barbed wire fence, and was one of the classes, one of the big escapes. Most people that were housed in those two buildings were under a court order, and today would be classed as being recipients of forensic medicine. As I said, most people would leave the court system in Hobart and be transferred here in a prison truck. The prison truck would go through double gated doors into a holding yard, and then people would then be processed and admitted onto the ward. You'll note, and I'll show you, it had a double entry system, whereby this particular building was originally manned in the 60s and 70s by security staff and nursing staff. It was then later used in the late 70s, early 80s, and into the 90s as just a residential building for male clients. This building to the left is Bronte. Apparently in its origins was a two-storey building and was renovated to become a single-storey. It was a mixed-gender ward, and it was home to people who were ageing. Some of those people were in their 60s and 70s but were still working within the hospital and within the hospital system. It remained one of those, because it was one of the older buildings, it remained very much unrenovated throughout its life after its original makeover back in the 60s. And one could say not a very nice place in terms of its layout, its functionality. Just beware of the glass, some of it is just hanging by a thread. Okay. No, we can't go in there, bugger. We'll go back down. So this was the entrance foyer, so in through here to security. Security then opened another door for me to go into the hallway. You will note triple plate glass, almost unbreakable, but some of the kids have had a good go. And as you can see by the panes of glass, not much opportunity to lift a pane of glass out in the sky. We'll test your limbering skills. As I was saying, I worked here in the 80s. You will note it's a pretty barren yard. This was home to 20 adult male clients. It is and was just as stark as it is today. The only difference being that the lawn was mowed and that there were a number of outdoor settings here in the yard. You will note to the left is a steel door in the corner. That door was left open, and inside is a toilet. That was the only inside facility that the clients could access during the day if they were put outside. Typically put outside by the cleaner, because the cleaner needed to polish those floors. And most floors here were all highly polished, and most cleaners went about their day, would talk to the nursing staff saying, I need to do the floors, and basically it was everybody outside. You could imagine, your Norfolk sometimes gets hotter than the city, so when Hobart's 32, it's 35, and as you can see, there's one tree there, and there was a very small shade area provided for the clients. Most of the clients were on various types of medication that made them photosensitive to sunlight, so it was a case of litres and litres of sunscreen. And there may have been a couple of balls in the yard for the guys to play with, or for the staff to engage with the clients. But apart from that, very little happened. So the starkness still today, even though the grass is a little bit longer, this is all there was. There is graffiti around the walls from people that were here as forensic clients. So those clients that were here under the forensic order, which was a court order, were then transferred to Risdon Prison. Clients that were coming through the system now with either a psychiatric or a disability issue and a criminal charge are more likely to go to the Wilfrid Lopez Centre, which is situated to the right of Risdon Prison. We're going to go inside. It's just as dark inside. Smell of possum tea. God,
as we go through the ward, I'll be able to just talk about a couple of, architectural features, things that we wouldn't want to see repeated again. I'll also talk about what it was like to work here and just a brief snippet of daily life for a client. The opossum pea really smells. Sorry, guys, it gets worse. We will be travelling over opossum shit, rat shit, glasses, glass, and possibly syringes, so people need to keep an eye out where they're walking. There will be certain signs indicating that there is asbestos in the building, but it hasn't been touched, so it is safe. This is the dining room. As you can see, lino is closed up the walls halfway. When I worked here in the 80s, we had plastic chairs, the typical outdoor chairs that you see today, with a few easy to wipe over chairs. At times there would be curtains hanging, but of course one yank and the curtains would come down, and once they came down, the staff would leave it, and that's not put them back up. There were maybe some union posters on the wall, but very few other decorations would adorn these walls. You will note that there are some PowerPoints through the buildings. That's so the cleaner can plug her polisher in, or his polisher. If you have a look into most of the bedrooms, typical, there were no pop radios, there were no stereos, there were no videos or TVs, because there are no PowerPoints. Nor did clients, or were they encouraged to have personal possessions, with the exception of maybe a few plush toys on their bed, and occasionally some clients would actually be able to keep an article without it being stolen or broken. Let's go. Again, another dining room and a servery, so staff would receive the meals in bulk from the kitchen, serve up and dish. The only things that were cooked in-house were toast in the morning for breakfast. Some cereals would be made, the porridge already came done from the kitchen. There was also a stove in which food was kept warm. And occasionally staff may take some time out to do some recreational cooking, i.e. cakes for the guys, or the only other time the stove was used was maybe boiled eggs for a salad, which was delivered in the morning for the evening meal. Apart from the rats getting hold of it, it's not a bad stove for probably a 40-year-old cooking implement. So we'll demonstrate how often it's been used. As attendants, please take note of the windows. They don't open. You can't kick them out, you can't break them. Okay, we're now going to go through the ground floor. Imagine this is home. It's lovely and cool in here in the summer. It was equally as cool in the winter. There were several rules if you lived on Carlton. That was that once you were up and downstairs, it was locked off, so you only lived downstairs during the day. The doors were open and you were allowed to go upstairs later in the evening. The first room in here is the treatment room and staff room. So this was a general place where people would come to get medical supplies, our daily interaction, communication books. The ward budgie was in here. He was in here for a reason, that was because he kept getting eaten by a client. And through the doors was the charge nurse's office. And so basically they sat there in charge, and also that was where all the keys were kept. And so you would come in as a morning, sign in, collect your keys, and start your shift. Yes, no, sorry guys, we'll make a move. Now just take note of the thickness of the doors. And inside these doors is iron framing. They weren't designed to be broken. I have seen one resident trash a door, but it's very difficult to do it. Picture for 20 people, this is the lounge room. So this was a recreational room, so this was the lounge room for, as I said, 20 people. So imagine trying to fit 20 20 chairs. And of course, as you probably can get, 20 chairs don't fit, so there wasn't 20 chairs. And so it was 13 got a seat. You'll notice from the, these are just some of the history stuff that they're collecting. They probably didn't want us in this room, but they're starting to put together a collection of instruments and contraptions from around the hospital, and this will eventually be developed into a museum. You'll note from the thickness of the walls by the door frames. It is a very cold building. It's not painted any fancy colours. It's basically, it's as people walked out on the last day. If you were a parent at one stage, you were allowed into this room, which was later then renovated into a closed storeroom. But if you could imagine being let in by staff and then placed in here with a door lock to meet your son, your brother, your uncle, whoever they may be. So it now, as you come in, it in later years was used as a storage room. Client names are still here, and for those of you that are working in services may know some of the clients that are here. Clothing was very simple, it was never ironed, it came from the laundry in a bundle, it was folded up by staff and packed away. The graffiti isn't from the clients, the graffiti is newly discovered graffiti. But as you can see, there was a shelf for jumpers, there was a shelf for t-shirts, trousers and shoes. The laundry came delivered in bundles from the hospital laundry. It usually arrived that hot that sometimes we burnt our hands when we picked it up, particularly metal objects, buttons, zips. So it was never ironed, it was just folded, and if the creases went out, they did. If not, it went on. Sometimes in worse condition than it came up to go to the laundry. We now going to walk down through the ward and then we'll shoot upstairs and then we'll make our way over to D. As we come through the ward, just imagine there are a few light bulbs burning but there's very little else to make it a homely place. In the corner. You'll see another closed storage room. You'll also see here models of an early bed. That probably would have had a floor mattress or a straw mattress. Straw was used in hospital until the late 60s. Everyone remember napping used to have a black and white striped mattress. Our black and white striped mattress is shoveled with straw and the straw was changed on a weekly basis unless it was wet. And so I can remember starting here in the 80s talking to some older nursing staff that could remember the days of going to the straw house to re-straw the mattresses. Bit hard to imagine, isn't it? In here's the doctor's room. The doctor was seen as a very important visitor to the ward. This was basically his room where he would do suturing, additional medication, general checkups. But typical of suturing for clients, just colds or any first aid would be conducted in the doctor's room. Is everyone in? Lined up and put in with a nursing staff standing here, face washer, assisting someone to wash themselves, back out, over to an area where they would then go to be dressed. And so it was literally miles through for a morning routine. This also was the room that I said had the door open to the yard. And so you would find in most bathrooms around the institution a cup tied to a tap that would allow the client to get a drink of water. If it wasn't tied inside, it'd be tied to the fire hydrant on the outside where there would be a garden tap attached. So apart from defined meal times, as in breakfast, lunch, morning and afternoon tea and dinner, the clients wanted to drink, usually for those that were in more secure areas, that was the only area or the only access they had to a drink. So we will now go upstairs.
Everyone wore hospital pajamas, and they were made of cotton material, and various floors had various colours. So there was sky blue, there was yellow, there was dark green, there was red, orange. That's about it. Cotton, simple smock top. Some had buttons through. Occasionally, it would be a treat to find a pair of flannelette pajamas that oddly ended up in the wash. There was no sizing, there was no personal names, you just got what fitted or didn't fit. And so as the elastic went, many people had to walk around all night holding their pyjamas because they literally would fall down.
And many clients still do that.
And yes, and there are still some clients that are in residential settings now that would have lived in the instead that still walk around holding their trousers. And that's very much a learned behaviour from this institutional setting. A bathroom up here, as you can see, basically housed the urinal and hand basins and toilets. So those clients will be made to come upstairs at a given time by nursing staff. They would be supervised to clean their teeth. And if we open up this box on the wall, everyone's toothbrush fitted in one handy location. And so a little bit of dynamo tape with your name, usually your surname. Most clients were referred to by their surname, so it's Smith, Jones and Jackson, never Tom, Betty or Lou. And as you can see, it was also locked, so you couldn't clean your teeth if you wanted to, because you had to wait for a nursing staff to undo the door. Probably a good indication is to look at the sink. It's not in bad nick. Probably tells you how often it was used. Maybe I'll say more. You'll also note as a bathroom there were two pieces of polished aluminium, no glass. So you couldn't actually see a reflection of yourself in the polished aluminium. You've probably seen them in public toilets. Once they've had one scratch of Ajax over them, the image, there's no chance of getting an image. And there are no other personal effects in this room. So clients weren't encouraged to have a toiletry bag or any such thing like that. Okay, we're going to walk to the left. Single rooms for clients that had to be locked in overnight. So many clients had their doors locked and had a bedpan. This was the night office, so this was where staff were required to sit. In the evenings, there was a report book up here. There was, if you were lucky, a television. All nursing staff would bring their own portable television in. And there is some debate, even though people were paid a 12-hour shift, as to whether people actually stayed awake or not. So depending on the type of personality you're working with, some nursing staff would sleep awake. It was also quite difficult to engage in conversation with nursing staff here when everyone is trying to sleep with places next door. So also mindful of that. But remembering that everyone was, you locked, just literally locked yourself upstairs for the night.
Yes, you can see here a whole shutter. So for some clients, and we'll see other shutters on other walls, these would have been put down and locked, and the door shut. So you can imagine that you are literally in the dark. There is no light switch on the inside, so you can't turn the light on. You were allowed to turn the light on.
So
this was, remembering that this used to house people that were here on criminal charges, so it actually was very similar to a jail. They weren't used in later years. On some walls they were used as punishment, so people were locked in the dark as punishment.
No, nothing.
Maybe a bit tan. As I said, there is no carpet in this ward. There are no soft furnishings. So in the 6 or 8 years that I've worked on, over the period of time that I was here, I can't remember this bathroom being used. Everyone was bathed typically downstairs. The clothes were downstairs, it was easy to bath people downstairs. And you can tell, I mean, these tiles are, you know, many, many years old. They're pretty good. Yeah, there's no mould, there's no wear. Yeah, only for the kids that don't have broken in. So, okay, we'll continue downstairs.
Just going to the staff office, please. This is the staff office. An important one of the things that you first see in this particular room, which is missing in most of the clients' rooms, the curtains. And they all face it, or the majority of them face inward, and what are they blocking?
Clients.
So again, it's another barrier that was put up between clients and staff. This is one of the beds that was typically used in the 60s and 70s. And there were many clients that could dismantle and twist these up into just with the exception of the slats, just into a piece of twisted metal. And so if they could do that, then the bed was removed. This would be a typical storeroom for keys, etc., and there will also be another key box. Great sticker nurses are overworked and underpaid. This was the charge nurse's office. He had the biggest space. I'll be careful of the floor. He also had internal windows. So that he could actually have a view, and typically during the day when the staff and the clients are outside, he could actually sit in here in the shade and see what we were all up to. Does anyone have any questions?
How many staff do you have outside the 20?
Two. The typical ratio during the day in any of the day rooms or any of the large quiet congregate care rooms would typically be two or three. When we go over to Esperance and have a look, there were always two staff, but there were six or seven rostered to the ward. But there was always two workers, and other people of varying grades, and the nursing profession would have other roles. There was always the charge nurse, the deputy charge, and they would be doing all the admin and the doctor's liaison. No, not in later years. Only when this was used as almost a prison facility. Yep.
Three of them on the floor as well.
Not typical of this ward, so it'd be just being gathered for the museum, I suppose. Okay, guys, let's move. Just in terms of imagery for staff. If we have a look, where are the clients compared to staff?
Yeah.
So staff are down. Oh, sorry, clients are down, the staff are up. So. Okay. And this was the entrance foyer that I was talking about. It was the door within the door. So you walk through, got let out from this area into another area, and then out to the big wide world. Okay. These are the private screens that I was talking about that used to be put around the beds. So it still didn't give you a lot of privacy in terms of noise, etc. But I suppose it was something. You'll note outside some of the lampposts. The Dillon Brothers Council is starting to select the old ownership.
Great lamppost.
All the little camera sensors. So there's a 2-week old museum.